Hello, I'm Debbie Ralph, and I'm pleased to be taking you on stage 6 of our walk. So here goes. You should now be on the right-hand pavement of Hull's Marketplace, and as you can see, there's not much activity going on here today. However, there were open markets held in this area from the Middle Ages right through until the early 1950s, and they then continued on until the 1980s, in what is now known as Trinity Square. Right, so if you please stay on the right-hand pavement and make your way towards Hull Minster, which is further along on the left-hand side of the marketplace. As you walk along, you'll see a superb gilded statue of King William III, William of Orange, dressed as a Roman emperor, known locally as King Billy. He was erected in 1734. So once you reach King Billy, please wait a moment. This market area has traded all manner of things over the centuries, and records show that near King Billy statue in 1806, a man sold his wife for 20 guineas and he delivered her in a halter to the purchaser, a Mr. Houseman. Thankfully, times have changed. Now, in front of King Billy is another example of Hull's superb public toilets, built in 1902. It has changed very little over the years with its Art Nouveau tiles and transparent cisterns. Sadly, they are not now open to the public. Hull seems to like to put their monarchs on or close to public toilets. Remember Queen Victoria? Well, I hope it's just a coincidence. Right, now, across the street, behind the King Billy statue, is the King William Hotel, first referenced as a building in 1799, but it didn't become a hotel until 1834. Further along, on the same side as King William Hotel, you will see gold-coloured telephone box. This is a tribute to Luke Campbell, Hull's gold medalist from the 2012 London Olympics. Now behind you, you will see the new Magistrates Court. I mention this only because it sits on the land that was occupied by a 14th century Augustinian monastery, whose monks and friars wore black robes, and they gave their name to Blackfriargate, the street we just saw before we crossed over Castle Street. Oh yes, we do pronounce it Blackfriargate, not Blackfriargate, and I really, honestly don't know the reason why. Incidentally, when the area was excavated for the law court, the human remains revealed a high incidence of arthritis, probably caused by the swampy conditions of this area at the time. Also in the bones there was evidence of syphilis, and this is thought it might be the oldest record of this disease in the UK. I don't think this could be blamed on the ground conditions, do you? Also, in the well-preserved graves were flagellation whips, which were used by the monks as part of their religious rituals. You can find out more about Hull, its monasteries and monks in the Want to Know More section of our website. So, back to the present. Right, now if you please carry on walking down Marketplace and you will get an excellent view of the east end of Hull Minster. The earliest surviving parts of the church are from 1320. The brickwork you can see was made from locally produced brick, and it is one of the earliest examples of a brick building still surviving in Britain today. Until 2017, the Minster was Hull's main parish church, known as Holy Trinity. It was the largest parish church in England. Hull and Beverley are thought to be the first towns in the country since the Romans to go back to brick manufacture. This is probably because there is very little stone around here, but a great deal of clay. As you walk past the Minster, look to your left, down what is North Church side. You will see the Trinity Market bell tower. You may recall you saw it from the other end, from Postongate, on the second stage of our walk. Next you'll see Ye Old Corn Exchange Public House, originally a coffee house, dating back to the late 1600s. It became an ale house around the 1790s. Next to the Corn Exchange is the one-time Gaiety Picture House, built in 1912.
It is now a backpacker hostel and has a very good reputation. Now, in between the Corn Exchange and the Gaiety is a driveway, which in Hull we call a 10-foot. Now, a 10-foot is a public access which runs to the back of a group of properties. Mind you, it doesn't have to be 10 feet wide, and it usually isn't. Again, on your left, you will see the marketplace entrance to Trinity Market. And next to that, you'll see a large blue bell hanging from the wall, and a sign for it reads, Ye Old Blue Bell. You get to it down the alley under the sign. It's a Victorian pub which has changed very little over the years. In fact, once inside, you feel it still could be 1880s. Keep walking and you will come to Liberty Lane. Please pause the guide at this point so you are not distracted as you cross over. Okay, so please now continue to walk down Marketplace. And again, on the other side of the street, you will see a rather elaborate four-bay frontage with the carved, decorated archway. This is the entrance to Hepworth's Arcade. We will have a closer look at the arcade later on in stage 8 of the walk. Right, now back on your side of the street is the old Customs House, now a restaurant. We will get a better view of this from the other side of the street during stage 8 of the walk. You should now have reached Scale Lane. We turn right here, but just wait a moment and we'll have a look at the buildings on 3 of the 4 corners. You may have already guessed that they had a previous life as city centre banks. The one diagonally opposite with the word bank over the door was the Midland, opened in 1890. The one in front of you was National Provincial, opened 1900. Both are now cafe bars and restaurants. The third one on the left was a branch of Lloyd's, also opened around 1900. It has now been developed into apartments. How the banks have changed. I think perhaps I ought to mention that most of the ex-banks covered on the walk that are now cafe bars and restaurants and have, on the whole, maintained their superb interiors. I think you might find it worthwhile, though, to go and have a look in one or two of them just to see how times really have changed. Okay, so if we could now turn right and walk down Scale Lane and stay on the right. As you walk down Scale Lane, you may hear the sounds of street traders and children begging. Don't worry, they are just lingering from the 1800s, so just ignore them and they won't bother you. I will see you about halfway down Scale Lane.
Buy me lucky ever, love. Please buy me ever, only a farthing. Please buy me ever, love.
Please give us a farthing, sir. Give us a farthing.
Please, please.
Give us a farthing, sir.
Please, please, sir. Please.
Well, I hope those street traders weren't too much trouble. You made it through to here. That's the main thing. So here we're about halfway down Scale Lane. As you walk along, you will see a number of chambers on the left. Many of them date from the 19th century. They were originally built as offices for solicitors, accountants, merchants and the like, and most of them are still here today. You will now have, in your view, two pubs of quite contrasting styles and history. The first of these on the left is the William Hawkes, which takes its name from William Hawkes, the gunsmith, who owned the property in 1820. And on the right, you will see Jacobean Revival-style pub, built in 1898. It's had many names over the years, but finally settled on as the Manchester Arms, named after the first ship to enter Queen's Dock in 1778. A bit late, but perhaps better late than never. Now, just in front of you, you will see number 5, Scale Lane, Hull's only surviving 15th century house.
You can see how each floor juts out from the one below, in traditional medieval style. It's now a restaurant-type bar, and well worth a visit. There is a blue plaque on the wall above the doorway. And if you look over the lane, opposite to number 5, and note the entrance to a building called Burnett Avenue. Built in 1888, it's hardly an avenue, but please note the heavy wear on the doorstep. It seems rather excessive for the entrance to a group of offices, don't you think? Well, the reason for the avenue is that it was originally built as an L-shaped alleyway, giving open access to the properties down there. You'll see the other entrance to this alley when we walk down the high street. Now please look up, and on the roofline you will see a Dutch-style facade. You will see quite a number of these Dutch influences as you walk around our city. It reflects the long-standing relationship Hull has had with Holland and with Rotterdam in particular. And now at the end, facing you across the high street is the Lion and Key public house.
It started out in life as the Britannia Coffee House in 1812. It was renamed the Lion and Key when Wellington began his campaign against the Spanish at Rodrigo during the Peninsular Wars, when he declared the Lion now had the key to Spain. There is more information on all the pubs around here in the Want to Know More section of our website. So now stop the guide at this point and cross over High Street and walk to the pave area where is Scale Lane stays. Please be careful here as cars can come from behind you and from your right on High Street. If you require a drop down kerb, then please turn right and walk about 10 metres down High Street and cross over there. Okay, you should now be on Scale Lane Stairs. Well, this is probably where all Hull's business and commerce began in the middle of the 13th century, and it remained at the heart of the city until well into the 19th century.
Most of the wealthy 17th and 18th century merchants had their houses on this street, with warehouses behind, reaching down to the riverside, so that they could load and unload goods directly onto ships and barges from their own backyard. There is a very good example of this layout if you look to your left, and you will see how one merchant's house developed from the 18th to the mid-19th centuries. You are looking at the side elevation of number 44 to 46 High Street, known as Danish Building. The front part facing High Street was completed in 1858 as a purpose-built office block, but if you look carefully, you will see that it was built in the front garden of a 5-bay merchant's house, which was built around 1770, and behind that would have been his warehouses that faced the river. I wonder how long it would take now to get planning permission for a building like that in your front garden. In fairness, the river did have some public access. The High Street was linked to the river by a series of stades. These are narrow, cobbled streets that gave small traders access to load and unload their goods. Many of these stades exist today, including the one you are now on, of course. Only the cobbled part was the actual stairs. You will see more of these stairs as we make our way down High Street. From the Middle Ages to the mid-19th century, around this area, there would have been a hive of activity. There would have been offices, workshops, stables, warehouses, and of course inns and taverns, and two of those old taverns survive today. The Lion and Key, I mentioned earlier, and Ye Old Black Boy. Now, just before we step back onto High Street to see Ye Old Black Boy, please take a look to the far end of the stairs, and you will see a swing footbridge over the River Hull. It is unique in that it is the only swing bridge in the country you can ride on whilst it's in operation.
You can find out operating times from the Hull City Council's website, hull.gov.uk/Scale Lane Bridge. Okay, so if you make your way back towards High Street, turn right and you can see ye old Black Boy pub just a little way down on the left. It was first licensed in 1729 and is Hull's oldest pub. It was also one of the favourite watering holes of the poet Philip Larkin. We are nearing the end of stage 6 of the walk now, but before we do, I will point out a couple of interesting stages you may wish to visit before you start stage 7. Right, if you walk down High Street, you will come to Bond 31 Warehouse Stathe, built in 1828. If you look through the gates and down the stathe, you will see there are what appear to be warehouses on either side, running down to the river, and gates at the other end leading onto the wharf. The buildings on either side are now used as offices for Hull College and for various small businesses. There is public access to the stathe during office hours, so if the gates are unlocked, it's okay to walk down. A little bit further down High Street, still on the right, you will come to another pair of gates. These provide access to another stage leading to Crowell House, dated 1664. The building itself is not accessible, but the frontage is really worth a look. And again, if the gates are unlocked, it's okay to walk down. It really is worthwhile, if you can, to enjoy the atmosphere of mid-18th century Hull. As you walk through these stairs, please bear in mind that these are working offices, so please be as quiet as you can. You may want to have a look down the stairs, take a break, pop into one of the hostelries I've mentioned, or just rest your weary legs on one of the benches on the paved area down Scale Lane Stairs. Whatever you decide when you're ready for the next stage, stand outside Bond 31 Warehouse Stairs and press Stage 7, High Street and the River on your handset.